With Jonathan Cahn as he opens up his Mystery of the Ages in his book, The Book of Mysteries. Also, End Times, The Mysteries of Your Life, and some other secrets coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Jonathan Cahn. We'll get to your calls too this hour. Jonathan, let's throw a few more mysteries your way and tell us a little bit about them. And do they all have a central focal point, all these mysteries? Do they steer you to one thing?
Well, I think it points to the fact that we have to stay open because, you know, there are so many gigantic things there that are bigger than even our comprehension that will blow us away, that there's more to the picture, there's even more to the picture of our lives than we could imagine. You know, one of the mysteries, I won't get into much, but it's called the seven mysteries of your life, and that is that there are seven events or seven markers in your life that go back from ancient times. It's actually from Leviticus that actually will determine how your life goes. So the point is there's more, you know, there's always more, there's more. And the ultimate, again, the mysteries we began with is God. But the other part of the mystery is us.
What is the mystery of the bride and groom? What the heck is that all about?
That's a beautiful one. And that is the ancient, it's kind of like sums up the ancient biblical marriage, basically. I'll do it in a nutshell. And that is, and it really sums up everything, and that is that in order for there to be a marriage, the bridegroom has to make a journey from his house, the house of the bridegroom, to the house of the bride. He's got to make his journey, and there he proposes, and there he's got to give her a treasure, basically, which is kind of like the bridal price to set her free. And if she says yes, they have a covenant, they pledge each other to each other, and then he leaves her, and they're separated for about a year, and she gets ready, spends the year getting ready for the marriage, and he spends the time preparing a place for her to bring her back. Then when the wedding day comes, he comes in a great procession, he's dressed as a king, his torchlight, comes in one more journey from his house to her house. He sees her, she unveils herself, they look face to face, the two are lifted up on this sedan chair, they're carried away in this great procession from her house for the last time. She sees it, and she goes into the house of the bridegroom, they rejoice for 7 days, they become one, and a whole thing. Well, when the Bible speaks about a marriage, that's what it's speaking about. So let me just tell you in a nutshell, it's this. According in the Bible, the mystery is this, is that the bridegroom is God, and we are the bride. We're meant to be the bride. And so that's why
symbolism.
We're longing for something more. And so, but in order for the mystery to happen, the bridegroom has to make that journey from his house to her house. So what it means, according to the mystery, 2,000 years ago, God has to make a journey from his house, heaven, to earth, our house. And so the mystery, and then he's got to offer a price for the bride. Well, the price is salvation. That's the price of his life. Then he's got to return, and, you know, actually share a cup of wine together. Well, that's also in the Bible, like the communion. But then he's got to return to his house. Well, if you look in the Bible, he says, I got to go back to my father's house. Goes back where I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's what the bridegroom has to do. He prepares a place. That's heaven. And then it says he will come again. There has to be there's a second coming of the bridegroom. And the Bible says very clear, that's what the last days are all about. There will be a second coming, and that will be not just to make a covenant. That will be to bring in the kingdom of God, and that goes into eternity. That's why the Bible ends with a wedding, a celebration. So I just gave you a real nutshell, but it's really one of the most beautiful things, and has to do with, as I said, like we just said, God and each of us.
So there's a lot of symbolism in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God is into symbolism. You know, it's the way he shows us. I love the mystery through that. Yeah, absolutely.
You have a new harbinger, the sign of the ball. Yeah. What is that? Sounds kind of scary to me.
We talked about the template of Israel. When Israel in the last days got these warnings, and now they're up here in America, they turned away from God. Well, what did they turn to? They turned to the God who was known as Baal. And Baal was the God of prosperity, was the God of sensuality and all this. And they actually offered up their children on the altars of Baal. It led to judgment. And actually, we get the word Beelzebub, you know, that's one of the words for Satan. We get it from Baal, okay? But here's the thing. Could the sign of Baal, if we're watching America replay this, could the sign of Baal actually appear in America? Could it appear? And what I'm going to tell you right now is a harbinger that not only is so recent, but it's actually going to be in the next few days, George. And so it's kind of time
really?
We're doing this. Not only the the anniversary of 9/11 coming up, but also that. And here's what's going to happen. It's actually going to happen here in New York. I'm right outside New York City. In New York, on American soil, in the next few days, what is planned is they are going to erect the Arch of the Temple of Baal in New York City for the first time in American history.
That's not supposed to be a good thing, is it?
No, this is a terrible thing. I mean, and you know, and it's like the Harbingers. You know, when you say like, why are people doing this? Why are they pronouncing judgment? Why are they? Well, they're not. They don't know what they're doing. They think everything that they're doing, they think is a good thing, and yet this is the exact God, you know, the idol that brought judgment. This is the final part of the Harbinger. They're recreating from the Temple of Baal in Syria. They are recreating it. We don't know where yet. They haven't revealed, but except that it's going to be in New York City. They're going to erect that arch that led to the Temple of Baal, which is a sign of a nation, just like Israel has turned away from its foundation and is turning to destruction. It's happening again. You know, from Baal you get the word for Satan, and this is going to be erected. You know, in the same city that saw 9/11.
This is not good.
No, and this is planned for the next. You know, for the next few days. I think
who's doing this?
This is planned.
John,
it's crazy. And
who's doing it?
Yeah, well, I think it's some organization that is saying. I don't know it's some organization that's saying. You know, we're restoring the heritage because these things were destroyed by ISIS, so we're going to show ISIS that we're going to rebuild and come back stronger. And that is exactly. Listen, here's the other thing. You know, one of the harbingers in the book is that, remember, ISIS is a descendant. They are descendant of the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were the ones who brought judgment on Israel. And they came in. They made this strike. They were the first terrorists in the world. And then Israel said, well, we're going to rebuild what you destroyed. We're going to rebuild something. Well, we are now literally saying we're going to do the same thing, and yet we're doing it to a false god that brought judgment.
Within days, we're going to watch this one unfold.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, they originally were planning this in the spring, and I think there was an uproar, and so they kind of quietly planned it again, and the news just came out a few weeks ago. And they're not saying where it's going to be, but it is planned for September.
The mystery of the wolf. What is that?
Okay. And this gets into, you know, there's a lot of kinds of mysteries in the book. And this one, actually, the teacher is with the student or the traveler, and they're watching a shepherd in the desert. And then they see a wolf kind of following this. And here's the thing. In the scriptures, it talks about God as a shepherd, and it talks about Israel as a flock, and that's why you have the word. Actually, you have the word pastors. It means shepherd, and it talks about the enemy or Satan as being a wolf. And so the thing is that it says that if Israel's a flock and God's a shepherd, what happens if the flock turns away from its shepherd? Well, it says if it turns away from the shepherd, or basically if Jesus comes, he said, "I'm the good shepherd," and they fall from him, what's going to happen is the flock's going to be scattered throughout the earth. So what happened, if you look at Jewish history, it's the history of a flock that's been scattered all over the world. And there's actually ancient prophecies from Ezekiel, which where God says, the Jewish people are going to be scattered to every nation, and they're going to be attacked by the flock. My flock was attacked by the beast of the field, like the wolf that was attacked. Well, that's been the history of the Jewish people for 2,000 years, like a sheep without a shepherd. Well, who are the greatest enemies of the Jewish people? Who are the greatest, most satanic enemies who wanted to wipe them out? Well, it was the Nazis. It was Hitler. Well, one thing about the Nazis here, not only was it satanic, they were into the occult, they were into all these things, satanic, but also they operated as wolves. What wolves do is they round up the sheep. They separate the young from the mothers. They separate the sick from the healthy. They separate the old. That's exactly what the Nazis did to the Jews. They rounded them up. They separated them. A total evil satanic thing. But not only that, but the key people in the Nazi movement, if you translate their name means wolf. The founder, the one who came up with the Nazi party name, his name meant wolf. The one who was one of Hitler's mentors, his name was Wolf. Hitler himself spoke about himself as a wolf who was going to attack the flock. He actually, his code name was Herr Wolf. He called his headquarters the Wolf's Lair. He called another one the Werewolf. everything was wool. In fact, even going deeper here, in fact, I mean, his secretary was named Johanna Wolf. There is, I mean, surrounded, the key Nazis named Wolf all around, Wolf. But the name, you know, a little baby was born in Austria, and the mother gave him this name, Adolphus, or Adolf. Adolf Hitler, Adolf means the wolf. The wolf. That is so, and so the wolf tried to destroy the flock. And what happened at the end? Finally, the Nazis were destroyed. Hitler ended up killing himself on April 30th, which is actually a day of satanic offering, a sacrifice. He was actually, his body was burned. But you know, what happens when the wolf is killed, or the shepherd, he fights off the wolf, then he can regather the flock. Well, it was right after the destruction of the Nazis that the Jewish people were gathered from the ends of the earth and Israel was born again. That's how real this is.
It is. Let's go to the phones. Jeff is in Culver City, California. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George and Mr. Khan.
Hi there.
Yes, I've always found it very curious and strange and even weird that the Jewish scholars and theologians today have been so concerned with what has been written in the Second Testament of the Bible, which is primarily about Jesus' life, and more and most importantly, the last chapter, which would be the book of Revelation, which outlines and details very terrifying and horrific events for mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, the Jewish faith rejected Jesus as the Messiah and basically the Christian religion. My question is, Mr. Khan, why do you believe that the Jewish scholars, theologians, researchers, and others of that faith are so concerned with and perhaps worried about the last chapter of the Second Testament, which would be Revelation? And do you believe that all of this continued and manufactured chaos and mayhem going on now in the world, as well as what comes out of Hollywood, is all related to the book of Revelation? And I'll take your answer off there.
Okay, great stuff. First of all, remember that it was prophecy that most of the Jewish people, the leaders, had to miss the Messiah the first time. They had to reject it. That's why salvation came to everybody else. But also remember that all the first Christians were Jews. I mean, everybody was Jewish. You know?
They were. That's right.
Paul was a rabbi. Mary was called Miriam. You know, it was all. And in fact, the first big controversy is, can we let in non-Jewish people without being circumcised to become Christians? So keep that in mind too. But the mystery is, and Paul says it, is that the Jewish people are going to be they're not going to find their Messiah until the end. Some of the mysteries in the book is that when the Jewish people, every year they come back to God at the end. It's called the time of return, and it's always at the end. So you know, the Bible says that at the end days, Jewish people are going to return to the land, and that's always linked to returning to God. There's more Jewish people actually coming to faith in Messiah now as the Jewish Messiah than any other time since the Book of Acts, which is another thing. So I think that, I mean, it's kind of ironic because what you're saying, that, you know, the book of Revelation and the end times is all key to Israel coming back into the world. So the Jewish people are key in this, but they can't come back as a nation until that time. Jesus said, I'm not coming back again until you say, Baruch Haba, you say, blessed is he. But there's an amazing thing, and we didn't touch on this. Some of the mysteries in the book concern the hidden writings of the rabbis. And the amazing thing is, without even realizing it, the rabbis record that all of a sudden, in the first century, these strange things started taking, supernatural things started taking place in the temple of Jerusalem. Signs started taking place that there was a cosmic change with God, with everything. And they date the change. They say it happened 40 years before the destruction of the temple. Well, that takes you to about the year 30 AD. That's the time of Jesus. So even though they don't say it, it's amazing what's hidden in their writings. They actually give the timing of the change of the new covenant. So I believe, yeah, it's all part of the mystery. I mean, it's all part of it. I'm Jewish, but I came to the Messiah. But it's all part of the mystery, and that's actually one of the signs of the end. So yes, the answer is yes. It's all part of it, and it's all linked to Revelation.
Now, how about Hollywood and Revelation? Do you find Hollywood is using Revelation to do anything, movies and things like that?
Yeah, actually, George, I'll tell you, there's been more and more actually films like that. Actually, I'll tell you, how can I tell you a secret when we're on national radio? Except that there's talk of making The Harbinger into a major motion.
Oh, that would be great.
Well,
I'd love that.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much. But yeah, I mean, that's all part of it. You know, I'll feel sorry when you said Hollywood, that's what it'd be, they call Hollywood Babylon. You know, And that made me think of something that goes with Revelation too, and that is that, and it's one of the mysteries, and that is in the book of Revelation, you have a woman riding a beast, and she's called Babylon, Mystery Babylon, and people are, and it's an evil thing. It's a picture of the end time civilization, and there's always been like, what's Babylon? Who is Babylon? What is that? But one of the mysteries, and that is that the teacher takes the disciple into this room and shows an ancient vase, a Greek vase, which has a picture of a Greek myth, and that the Greek myth there's a one Greek myth that has a woman riding a beast, and it's about a woman, and she's seduced by Zeus, who takes the form of a beast, carries her away, and she's seduced by Zeus. So you got a woman riding a beast, same picture. I mean, you know, a basic picture in the novel. Well, who is that woman? The woman's name is Europa. And Europa, this is in the Book of Mysteries, it's called the Mystery of Europa. Europa is the word that we get Europe from. Literally, Europe, think about this, Europe is named after a myth of a woman who is seduced by a false god. And so, and the other thing is, in, you know, students of prophecy, you've always long looked at Europe as the key of what will be the center of end time civilization. So even in that, this is an ancient myth, and yet the entire Europe has been named after. In other words, it'll be a civilization that turned away from its foundation and becomes this evil thing that you see in Revelation.
Jim in Delaware, you're up with us. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, George. I picked up the show 5 of the hour, but this is right up my alley. I'm a student of Bible prophecy.
Perfect.
And what I was taught, the Antichrist makes a peace pact or a non-aggressive peace pact with Israel, probably after the Russian-Israeli invasion. No, Russian-Arab invasion that gets thwarted by God, but a man stands up on a world scene, and the idea is that he's prevented Armageddon, and many are deceived that war was Armageddon that was going to take place. So he makes a peace pact with Israel, seats himself in Rome as the Jews resume their daily sacrifices. And Daniel, 1260 days later, goes into the Jewish temple, desecrates it, shows himself to be God by seating himself in the mercy seat as though he has mercy, but it'll be worse than Hitler. Then 1190 days, which is in Daniel 2, Messiah returns and destroys him and gathers up and protects the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
And that's when we win it back a little bit. We're going to get Jonathan's reaction to that, to the book of Revelation, when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about his new book. It's called The Book of Mysteries. We'll tell you where you can get this book as well when we come back. And welcome back to Coast with our final segment with Jonathan Kahn. Jonathan, so the previous caller was talking about the book of Revelation. Will things unfold that way, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, as much as it has unfolded to this day, and again, that's what got me from being an atheist to be a believer, as much as the prophecies have always come true, they will. You know, I have these old commentaries from the 1800s, and they're saying, listen, we don't see how Israel's going to come back in the world. It's been a desert. It can't happen. But the word says that it's going to happen. You know, one of the mysteries is that of the holy days, and that is God has set up, the entire age is set up as the Hebrew year, according to the holy days. And the first part of the age has to do with the spring holy days, and that's you read that in the New Testament. I won't go into it. But the end of the age has to do with the autumn holy days, which are the Feast of Trumpets. It begins with the Feast of Trumpets. And then you have Yom Kippur, then you have Tabernacles. And the thing is that as much as the first part of the age, and Christians know about that's Jesus died on Passover and all this stuff, that's how it began, so in the same way it'll be just as literal, just as real that you will have. When you look at the book of Revelation, you see trumpets. The next thing to come prophetically is the Feast of Trumpets. That's about war. It's about the Second Coming. It's also about the regathering of Israel. So, and then you have the Yom Kippur is the Day of the Lord. So the thing is, as much as the first part came true, well, if the first part came true, then the second part is going to come true just as well. And he spoke about, you know, George, he was speaking about the Antichrist. He's called the Beast, of course. And, you know, one of the things about the Beast, it really begins in Daniel. And one of the mysteries in the book is called the mystery of the fourth creature, or the fourth beast. And it concerns this, you know, Daniel speaks of four creatures, and they represent world kingdoms. And the end time one is the fourth beast. And the thing about that is that in Hebrew, and you wouldn't see this again in English, but it says that fourth creature was different from all the rest. And the word in Hebrew means was unnatural, was artificial. It actually has metal in it. It's actually like a technological thing. What it's saying is that the end time civilization is going to be something unnatural about it. It's going to be artificial. You can even take technology into that. And so, you know, people sometimes focus on who's the Antichrist and who's that. But we're already moving to that day. We're already moving close to that. And he mentioned the temple. And, you know, I'd like to give updates when I'm on with you and your audience, to, you know, prophetic updates. And one of them to be aware of just in the last, I think, month, and that is there's something in Israel that they've revived the Sanhedrin. And just in the last month, the Sanhedrin appointed a high priest for the first time in 2,000 years. That is a step towards building the temple. So the thing is, we don't have to see how, but it has happened and it will happen.
All right, back to the phones we go. John is truck driving in Oklahoma. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hey, John.
I talked to you last week with Gladys.
That's right.
And, yeah, I told you about the end time dreams I had. And,
yes.
I want to know about that and ask Jonathan there. How you doing, Jonathan?
Good. Good, George.
And see where that has a place in this day and time. And I'm in Oklahoma, so we're living on the fault line as well. And
did you feel that earthquake? They upgraded it to a 5.8.
And the wife, she jumped up like run out the room, and it just shook everybody around here, man. And,
oh man,
man, it was something else. And the Bible, we're living in the Bible Belt in Tulsa here. And I just want to know how all that has a point to play, part to play in this end times. And George, you got to come talk to man. We got to be okay up here. We can host you.
You got it. Thanks, John. John wants to know a little bit about his dreams. He's been dreaming a lot about end times prophecy. Jonathan, what does that mean?
Well, you know, dreams can be of significance, and they may not be. It's, you know, like hard to judge that. It does say, there is a scripture that says in the end times, you know, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. So dreams can be, but you know, you have to use discernment. Is it in line with this and all that? You know, he mentioned earthquakes, and certainly earthquakes are what it says in the end times. There's going to be more, you know, earthquakes shall increase like birth pangs. And you know, we have noted that in seismology, it has increased continuously. Actually, the Shemitah began with an earthquake that same day. So, but you know, each one you have to judge it. You know, as a dream, you have to judge it for itself.
Yeah, you really do. Let's go to Flagstaff, Arizona. Hello, Ross. Take it away. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm in rebuttal to what you're saying there. Your guest is saying.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have 3 points to make. Ending with the reason why the Harbinger of Doom prophecy has not been fulfilled and can never be fulfilled. But first he says, Day of Redemption being the Nina Pinto and Santa Maria, Christopher Columbus, that was the genocide of America, paving over utopia. I agree with what he says, Yahweh equals gods. Yes, it's false gods. These are the dark magicians that are here today, and they were here thousands of years ago as well. And they create havoc. Believe me, and they can work on the computer and put things on the computer. They do it to me all the time, that I never push a button and it's there. Anyway, going to the third point, the Harbinger of Doom prophecy has not been fulfilled and can never be fulfilled. the Twin Towers can never be rebuilt upon. If you look on, if you do a search on it, they have water where the Twin Towers were. It was a particle beam weapon. Every time they try to rebuild there, it disintegrates. So they had to put water. You can look on it 15 years later right now. It's water where the Twin Towers were. They can never rebuild there, so the Harbinger Doom prophecy can never be fulfilled. Period. Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome.
Okay.
You want to react to some
of
that, John?
I'll answer that, George.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the Twin Towers being rebuilt has nothing to do with the Harbinger being fulfilled, because, you know, basically it is that what the template is that Israel, after the destruction and literally of its towers as well, it said we will rebuild bigger and stronger. It did, whether, you know, it didn't say it has to be completed for that to happen. But the other thing is they did rebuild, and that is actually in the book, it's the fourth Harbinger, which is the tower. You can go to Ground Zero. I can see it from where I am. And they rebuilt it. They, you know, and actually the president of the United States, Obama, he actually inscribed on the top of it the words in English that are the words of the ancient vow that Israel did. It was a harbinger. It was a tower of defiance. So it's already happened. So I don't think we can put God in a box to tell him how he has to do it. The fact is, it's happening. And, you know, the other thing is that it wasn't just one harbinger, it's nine of them. And the nine of them have already happened. The fact that we keep on moving in the direction is all part of the template.
Indeed it is. Let's go to Cato in Alaska. Hi, Cato. Thank you for calling.
Hey, George Johnson.
Hi.
Hey, I'm an atheist, and I think the Bible is an ancient attempt to explain the world. And but the tragic and dangerous thing about it is the doomsday cult. It says man has no future and the world will end soon, especially the New Testament, not so much the Old. But it's immoral, too. It has some wisdom, but it's divine command ethics from an ancient comic book. And it attempts to value posit and it leads to value relativism, too, because if you can invent a god, then people can invent their own god and say, nature's law is not the boss of me. No one's the boss of me. I can invent my own lifestyle. And it's anti-man, anti-nature. And what do you think about some of those points?
Some of them are pretty poignant. Okay. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, George, it was hard for me to hear that. What was the point there?
All right, let's get him back on. Go ahead one more time, Cato, real fast.
Oh, well, I was talking about
what's the question, Cato? What are you saying?
I think that the Bible, the Old Testament, with its end of days, is a doomsday cult. It's a dangerous outlook, and it tells man that the world will end soon. And
does that help you, John?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's not a doomsday. The Bible is a thing of hope to begin with. What it's saying is that, and by the way, you know, people also make a mistake here, which is it's the end of the world. Well, it's the end of it talks about the end of an age, but it talks about something better coming. So no, it talks about the destruction of evil, but it's ultimately of hope. I mean, the whole thing is the hope. So, and the other thing is, it's not, you know, listen, again, you heard me today talking about how I was an atheist. The fact is, you know, we could not create these things, and, you know, with all our technology and all our, you know, computers, we cannot predict human history even 2 years in advance. And yet, you know, the Bible has it exactly, I mean, again and again and again. You know, whatever we think or not, Israel's back, you know, against all odds. Jerusalem is back. All these things are as the Bible said. So, you couldn't make it up. It's there.
Do you think the book of Revelation are things that will be or can be?
I said, well, it's interesting because it begins by saying these are the things that shall be. You know, this is what was.
I mean, that's pretty definitive, isn't it?
Yeah. I believe it is. And again, you know, remember, George, is that, you know, when you look at, you know, for years and years and years, even church people were saying, you know, the Bible is saying, you know, Israel's going to be back and all this and all the focus on the Middle East. It can't happen. It's a desert. It's not going to happen. You know, never going to happen. And yet it happened. So, you know, what I'm saying is that with all this, you know, it happened, and, you know, I would put my bets on the Word of God, you know, because it comes true. And that is exactly what took me from saying there's no God to really, whoa, there's a gigantic thing going on here.
In your book of mysteries, what mystery is the most fascinating for you?
Oh, that is very hard.
That's a mystery all by itself.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. I mean, and literally hundreds of them. So it's very hard for me to do that. There's so many. I can mention something that I didn't mention before. It actually goes along with what we were just talking about. I'll just throw in two things that have to do with history and what's happening here. One is called the Haftorah mystery, and that is that, you know, there is a cycle church that every week in all the synagogues across the world, they read a portion of the scripture. I mean, it's appointed for that day. Well, there was an appointed scripture in the late 40s to be read in May of in the late 40s. And in that same time, Israel came into existence. This is all the prophecies that were there. It came into existence on a Sabbath. That's when they read the scripture. And what was the scripture that was appointed for May 14th or May 15th, 1948, the day when all this came true? It was Amos 9. That was the appointed. And what was that? It was the scripture on that, appointed from ancient times for that day, was, I will gather them back. I will bring them back to the land. I will restore Israel. They will plant the vineyards. The exact scripture fulfilled not only just as good as in the Bible, but it was appointed on that exact day, you know. And the other thing is that one of the things, if you look at history, and this is something, I mean, you talk about, you know, you go back to Genesis. When God says, Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. One of the mysteries in the book is called the Chaldean mystery, and that is that from 4,000 years ago to this day, every single nation and kingdom that has cursed Israel has been cursed. Every nation that has blessed Israel has been blessed. And not only that, but in the very same way that what they do to Israel has been done back from the days of the Pharaoh to the days of America. I mean, you can judge in it, like past, present, and future by it. For instance, you know, the British Empire blessed Israel, gave them the land, and they were blessed. They turned against Israel, the empire disappeared. You know, America blessed Israel more than any other nation. America became the most blessed nation. You know, Russia, you know, actually cursed the Jews domestically, but they liberated the Jews militarily. So Russia, or Soviet Union, became the military superpower, and yet domestically it was cursed. And when Russia released the Jews to go home to Israel, the next year, Russia was released from communism. I mean, but this is like clockwork. Hmm. You can see it from the beginning.
It is strange. It is strange. And you've talked about how this book of mysteries can help one find their own destiny. Tell me about that.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of mysteries have to do with that. And I would say it as the mystery of you. You said, like, what's the greatest mystery? I think everybody gets it, you know, everybody is affected differently by one or the other. But many of them have to do with that. What's the mystery of your life? And that's in there as well. But every mystery has its application to find that. I'll just give you one thing, and that's a very different kind of mystery. How do you find God's destiny? How do you find your destiny? How do you find the will that is for you're appointed for? Well, one of the things is this. You know, at one point in the Book of Mysteries, the teacher takes the disciple to this mountain and says, on the top of the mountain is this, you know, you have to find what, there's something waiting for you there. But he says, well, which path do I take? There's all these paths. He has no idea which one to take. And a lot of times the disciples are saying, well, how we go? Where do we go? What's my destiny? Well, he ends up not being able to find it. And so at the bottom, the teacher reveals the answer. And that is, there is something in the Bible called Aliyah. And that means it's the journey to Jerusalem. And in order to go to Jerusalem, you always have to go up. And so the journey to Jerusalem is called Aliyah. It's the upward journey. And the key here is this. If you want to find God's will for your life, you want to find your destiny, the key is you may not know which path to go on. Do I go right? Do I say yes? No? What do I do? The key is every day you'll have a choice. You can either to go higher or lower. You go to choose the way of love, choose the way of selfishness, choose the way of, you know, the sin or resistance, sin, choose the way of God
or not. It's our choice, too.
Yeah, and every time take the upward choice. Always take the upward step. And what's going to happen is, you do that on a mountain, you're going to end up on top of the mountain. You're going to end up on the exact point, and you will intersect with the exact path that you have to do. Keep going upward. Choose that, and that is going to give you the direction and the destiny of your life.
East of the Rockies, we're going to Oklahoma City now. Arne's with us. Hey, Arne, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, Rabbi, I got a question. I'm in kind of a dilemma. One of the ways that I support Israel is by sending money to the institute that's planning on rebuilding the temple. But
yes,
some of the scripture kind of says that, leans towards that, that might be an Antichrist deal in the end times, that is, that the Antichrist might be involved in building it. So you can see my dilemma. I mean, just in your opinion, should I even be sending money to them? What do you think? Am I supporting Israel in a good way that a ways?
I think you have to, I mean, you have to pray, you have to be led what to do, obviously, with that. It's part of prophecy. The prophecy, they will build the temple. You know, the Antichrist doesn't look like he's going to build the temple, but he will defile the temple. That's the abomination which is mentioned of in Revelation. So I think you have to really seek about where you should give it and all that. I mean, it's a fascinating thing. You go to Israel, I've been there many times, and I've seen the temple institute. They're preparing the vessels, they're preparing all that. That's prophecy. I don't know whether you have to fulfill that yourself. I mean, give to the Lord's purposes, you know. I'm actually a descendant of Aaron. I'm of the line of Aaron. They were the priests, you know. But the ultimate thing is, you know, do what God says to do, you know, and he'll take care of the prophecy.
John, where do you get the book? The Book of Mysteries.
The Book of Mysteries just came out 2 days ago. It's everywhere. They can get it on Amazon right now, like online. It's also at every place. It's on Walmart, everywhere books are. You can recognize it because the Book of Mysteries looks like it's an ancient book that you just discovered that you're opening up. It literally looks
is
like
that why it. The so pages really are the way they are? That's kind of cool.
Yes. Yeah, they actually made it like that, like it's an ancient book. That's exactly right. Yes.
Well done. Well done indeed. John, keep in touch with us. Let's hope some of the prophecies come true and some of the others don't.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Thank you, George. Always a blessing.
Jonathan Kahn, and the name of the book, of course, The Book of Mysteries. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, we're all going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.